Announce it. You have to remind the people. Usually I announce it.
Okay, so we're doing the Kuntres Acharin of the Tanya. Again, let me point out that both Part 4 and Part 5, Part 4 is called the Igeres HaKodesh, which is a collection of letters, and Part 5 is called Kuntres Acharin, the last pamphlet, were printed after the Alter Rebbe's death. There is a simple logistical difference, though, in the way they're numbered. In Igeres HaKodesh, we have a number for each letter. So there are 32 letters. So there's Siman Aleph, Siman Beis, and the like. Kuntres Acharin is just continuous. Nevertheless, Chabad does consider it to have 9 chapters, and you can see it in the printing. Every time something begins with a bigger letter, even though it's not designated as a separate perek, they count it as a perek. So based on that, therefore, Igeres HaKodesh has 9 chapters, most of which are very short, one of which, for Tanya, is relatively long. A long chapter in Tanya is 6 pages. That's a very, very long chapter. What I want to do tonight, and again, I'm not sure, this may in fact be the last shiur we'll have in Tanya, because some of it is such heavy Kabbalah that, you know, I don't know if we can really get into it. So I want to give you a quick overview of all 9 chapters. I'm going to try to do 9 prakim tonight to be give you like a 1 or 2 sentence, not a little more than 1 or 2 sentences, but a few sentences for each essay in Kuntres Acharin, so you know what it is talking about. The first essay begins with this question. Lahavin, Heich HaKayre B'Sipure Maisiyas Shebetayra Hu Mekusher B'Chachma Ilah. To try to understand how a person who reads just the stories of the Torah is still connected to the ultimate divine wisdom. All of us know that the Torah, which represents the Halacha, is the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we keep Shabbos, that we wear tefillin, that we keep kosher. And since the will of Hashem is the same as Hashem, because in Hashem there is no division, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an undifferentiated unity, Mimela, that which is the will of Hashem is God. Torah is God. That's the meaning of the statement. Oraisa v'kudsha b'rich hu chodhu. So we understand when I learn halacha, I am connecting myself to the highest wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because whatever Hashem tells me to do, or whatever Hashem tells me not to do, is the will of God. The will of God equals God, because in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is no division of function. Right? I could say about me, and there's what I want, and what I want and me are two different things. With the Eibishter, there is no shaychus of any type of division. But the kasha is, if I just read a story, right, I read today that Avimelech took Sarah, so what chachma of Hashem am I makasher myself to? There is no commandment. There is no commandment to do something or not to do something. So what is the point of Sipurim? Now, the emphasis, the Alter Rebbe himself says, maybe this is not such a kasha, because obviously, in every narrative of the Torah, there are indirect lessons that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us about Midos and the like. So even in fact, that's what Sefer Bereishis is about. Even in the narratives that don't involve direct mitzvahs, you are makasher yourself to the Ratzon Hashem, which means this is a bit of a subtlety. In other words, in order to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by Torah, you have to be makasher yourself to the Ratzon of Hashem, that you do something or not do something. But the Ratzon of Hashem can be expressed in commandments, and the Ratzon Hashem can be expressed through the lessons that you learn from stories. In fact, there is a sefer written by a relatively modern person. He's not alive anymore, Rav Shmuel Humener. You may come across it. I think they recently reprinted it. It's called Eved HaMelech, and it's on the Chumash, and he goes through every single parsha, what is Hashem telling us to be based on the parsha. Now, for Shteitzach, in a parsha that has a lot of mitzvos, that's a relatively simple exercise. Hashem is saying, do this, don't do this. But he goes through every single parsha, even the parshias that don't have mitzvahs, like Rove of the Parshias in Sefer Bereishis, and he says, what are the implied commandments? They're not commandments per se, but what are the implied directives that the Eibishter is giving you? So he goes into this, but he makes another point, and he really digresses, meaning he doesn't spend a lot of time. In the first essay, he actually does not spend a lot of time answering the question that he began the essay with. But he goes into the idea that every person has a shayrish neshama, meaning there's you, and then there's a shayrish of your neshama that is called your diyukan lamala. Your diyukan is your image, lamala. And he says, we have a well-known idea that whatever you do lamata, your diyukan is doing lamaila. Your diyukan is a much higher madrega. Mimela, when your isek b'tayra lamata, your diyukan is doing it lamala. And since your diyukan, your image, is much more makusher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mimela, you indirectly get the chachma ilah from your diyukan. But then the Alter Rebbe says that I have to come on to that answer only when you're learning Torah b'machshava. When you're learning Torah b'machshava, so you get it from the Yudiyukan. But when you learn Torah not only b'machshava, when you learn Torah b'dibor, he brings from the Zayar, the dibor is by Kaya Rikian, meaning to say the Dibor itself goes up directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and brings down a Shefa. Which means, again, it's hard for us to understand the difference here, but all of us know that there's a special inyan of learning Torah B'Dibor. In fact, according to most Paiskim, you're allowed to be Maharer B'Divrei Torah without Birchas HaTorah. The Gros, Taka Machmer. But many Paiskim say that the Chi of a Birchas HaTorah is only when you say words of Torah and not when you think words of Torah. Which means, obviously, there is a metaphysical chiluk between Dibor and Machshava without Dibor. And the way the Baal HaTanya describes it, and I'm not sure if this will make it more accessible to us, he says, when you learn B'machshava B'alma, the Machshava alone does not go up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the way it works is, the Machshava triggers a parallel action in the sheirish of your neshama. So I do it below, so the neshama does it above. And since the sheirish of my neshama is already makusher to Hashem, that brings the or to the sheirish of my neshama, which then goes to me. But it's not a direct thing. In other words, my machshava activates the sheirish of my neshama lamala. Ma she'ein kein, when I learn b'dibor, the dibor alone is baikeya rakian. It's a lashon of desire. Baikeya rakian means it breaks through all of the heavens and it directly goes up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But again, he then goes on, and this actually is a chazara a little bit of what he says in the Tanya, that he doesn't mean dibor alone, because you'll recall that the desire itself says in order for any mitzvah to go up to Shemayim, there has to be dechilu urechimu, there has to be the yiras Hashem and the abas Hashem. And therefore, when I say the dibur is by kaya rakin, that means only if you have a limud of Torah or a mitzvah that you're doing lishma. And again, if you remember, let me go over it very quickly. I know we went over this for a few weeks already, but it's kedai to chazer it over. The Baal HaTanya has a very complicated typology of what types of lishma we have and what types of shalo lishma we have. The highest level of lishma, well, first of all, he's defining lishma as meaning a mitzvah that is done with avas Hashem and yirasam. That itself is not so obvious. One might have thought lishma just means I'm doing it because God commanded it. He says no. His definition of lishma throughout the Tanya is the dechilu or rechimu. Dechilu is yira, rechimu is ava. And he quotes the Zayar many times, that the chilu or rechimu are the trei gatfin, they are the two wings that allow your mitzvahs as a bird to fly up to Shemayim, otherwise not. Right? That is his foundational idea. So when he says, dibor, so machshava alone doesn't go up, it only triggers a reaction in the diyaitan, the shayrish of your neshama. Dibor and maisa go up, but only when you have the dechilu urechimu. Now, in terms of the typology of dechilu urechimu, the highest level of dechilu urechimu is called dechilu urechimu sichliim. Sichliim means through the action of your mind, in which you think about the godless Hashem, and that inspires both yira in terms of awe, and ava. Your mailed in your heart, okay? Through the action of your mind, your mailed in your heart, avas Hashem and yiras Hashem. And yiras Hashem here means, also an unusual definition, it's not even awe, it's the ava is so great that you're misyore to be separated from the ava. So that's the highest level, right? That's called the chilu rechimu sichliim. Then there is another level that's called the chilu urechimu tivim. And this is based on the idea that every Jewish person as a Yerusha from our Avais already has Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem in our heart. That's not something we have to create. That is something that's already there. The only thing is, it is b'talumos libay. It is concealed. We're not consciously aware of it. So, Dechilu Urechimu Tiviyim is that, again, both of them involve the Seichel. That's why it's a little confusing. Both of them involve meditation, but one is a meditation that creates a new love and Yiras Hashem. The other is a meditation that awakens and arouses that which is already within you. And on that, the Bava Tanya says, that's a relatively easy thing, and he mentioned a few things that you think about, how to be ma'orer, the dechilu urechimu tiviyim. He mentions nafshi ivisicha, meaning to say, you're makir that Hashem is my life, and therefore just as one loves their life, you love Hashem. Baradi yishtadl, this is taken from the Zohar, you look at God as your parent. Mayim apanim elpanim, as water reflects the face of one who looks at it, and that means think about all the love Hashem shows you and you'll come to love Hashem. The other is rachamim, the Shekhinah in you is in exile when it's trapped in your averas, so the rachamim could cause love, right? So these are four ways. Again, nafshi v'sicha is my love of my life. Barad the Ishtadal is the love of I have for a parent. Mayim alpanim alpanim is I feel the love of Hashem that makes me feel love. And Rachmanis is I contemplate all the suffering Hashem has because he's trapped in my tuma. So these are mechanisms that are ma'orer dechilu urechimu tivim. Now that is still not the same as dechilu urechimu sichliim. Again, it's confusing. Because tiviyim doesn't mean you're acting on instinct. I'll get to that if you're just doing that. It means you're maitzi from the talumais halev into his galus halev, meaning to say what is already in you through your mental operations, you bring it out and you feel it on an emotional level. Now, if that is the process of dechilu rechimu tiviyim, then what exactly do you do when you do dechilu rechimu sichliim? So it seems to be like this. It seems to be, this is my understanding, that dechilu rechimu tiviyim has a certain amount of ego that is attached to it. I love God because I love my life. I love God because he's my parent. I love God because of what he does for me. Kamayim apanim apanim. So that's kind of instinctual love. That's the love. I love God because all that he is for me. Dechilu rechimu sichliim is a higher madrega, because it's a higher madrega in the sense that it is a love that arises not out of any relationship you have with God, but it's a love that arises out of the perfection and greatness of God, almost in the abstract. And that's a much higher, that's a much harder madrega, because normally, even in human love, you know, our love tends to be connected to what someone has done for me. This is kind of a love that's a very abstract love, but the Bava Tanya says it can be extremely passionate. And he talks about the fact that in reality, this is not a question of one madrega is higher than the other, although in the hierarchy, sichli is higher than tibi. Because sichli is you're creating a new Abbas Hashem and a Yiras Hashem as opposed to simply exposing what you have. So it's actually deeper. In fact, he compares it to the difference in gold and silver. Again, he has various makairis that dechilu rechimu tiviyim is silver and sichliim is gold. You've discovered something new. On the other hand, he does make the point that perhaps tiviyim has something that's stronger than sichliim, because the love that God implanted in you is likely to be greater than the love you create yourself. One is so you see, you can look at it both ways. One is, what I create is more chaviv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because I'm giving it to him. On the other hand, my creation by definition is never going to be as shalem as his creation. So the bottom line is that you need both. But here's what the Bava Tanya says, that both of them will take your mitzvahs to the same place, your Torah and your mitzvahs. And that's the idea, whether it's Dibor, whether it's Maisa, it's Baikeya Rakian, it breaks through, And in fact, he makes the following chiluk, an interesting chiluk. He says that the chilu urechimu sichliim are nisiachet with the 10 sviras. In other words, they're united with the godliness in the olam habriya. I'll explain why in a moment. Masha'in kain, the dechilu urechimu tiviyim are nisiached, one level below that, in the 10 sviras of the olam hayitzira. So both, again, I'll explain it to whatever degree we can explain it. I will explain this in a minute. So the pshat is, dechilu urechimu sichliyim, the mitzvahs go to a higher level of godliness, Torah and mitzvahs. Now, the nafkamina is like this. We go back to the idea, and this is all, again, in the first essay of the Kuntres Acharon, we go back to the idea that there are four spiritual ilamais, each of which gets progressively more physicalized and less ruchni. The highest level is the world of Atzilus, the world of emanation, which is pure ruchnius. And then from Atzilus we go to Bria. From Bria we go to Yetzira. And then this is the physical world of Asiya. Right? This is abbreviated as Avya. Aleph, Beis, Yud, Ayin. Avya. Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, Asiya. Now, these four worlds correspond, number one, to the four letters of the Shem Havaya. So Yud is Atzilus, He is Bria, the Vav is Asiya, I'm sorry, the Vav is Yetzira, and the He is Asiya, right? So that's the first thing to keep in mind. The four Olamais correspond to the four letters of the Shem Havaya. The second thing to keep in mind, which is going to be the same correlation, is they also correlate to the different categories of spheros in the following way. When we talk about the spheros that are the manifestations of godliness, the way it works is this. The first three spheros are said to be God's mind, mochin. And that is either keser chachma bina or chachma bina das. That's a homachlogos in and of itself. But certainly of the first two of the three is chachma and bina. Chachma and bina. Chachma, if you describe Hashem's creative process, the way we think, chachma is the original idea, bina is the development of the idea. From the mochin, we then move into the lower sviros, which are expressions of these ideas. Chesed, gevura, right? They are called midos. Midos express the thoughts. Now, the midos then act upon something, and that's called malchus. So the way it works is, chachma, bina, das, are called the muchin, the brains. The next six, chesed, gevura, tiferes, netzach, hod, yesod, are called the midos. And then the last one is makabel, all of that, godliness, that is called malchus, in which God's kingship becomes manifest, or it's called shechina, or it's called nukva, it's like the feminine, meaning the six midos are masculine and they're giving to the feminine. That's why we say in the Shem Yichud, if you say the Shem Yichud, we're doing a mitzvah to unite kutshe brichu u'shechintei. That means the six spheros, which are also called by the Ari Zeir Anpin, the small face, u'shechintei and malchus. Again, you understand that although these ideas are very, very common in Kabbalah, they are expressed, they are bread and butter in Kabbalah. Nevertheless, you understand that there were those who thought that these ideas were kfirah mamish, because you understand that when you say the ideas, you seem to be dividing HaKadosh Baruch Hu up in a lot of different ways. You're saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sviros have to be nisyached with the nukva. It's like a sexual imagery. And when we do mitzvahs, we're misyached. So the Mekubalim say, well, this is a mashal. Of course, he doesn't tell you what's a mashal for. This is only a mashal. This is not to be taken in a literal way. Okay, so that's the best we can really do. But seen in this way, here's what happens. So the spheres are divided into three groups. Chachma Bina are the Muchin. The six Chesed Gur Tiferes Netzach Chod Yisod are the Midais that express the Muchin. And then Malchus, which is the last one, is the Nukva, that's Makabel, the Shefa, and plays it out into the world. That's why it's called Malchus, because Hashem's ultimate kingship is revealed through the Malchus, which brings all of these manifestations into the world. Now, here is what the Mekubalim say. The Mekubalim say that the world of Atzilus is keneged the Chachma Elyayna, Chachma Ilah. Atzilus is Chachma. Berea is Bina, when the Chachma gets enlarged and expanded. Yetzira are the Sviras, and Asiya is the world of Malchus. So again, there are three correlations to keep in mind. We have four Olamais. They are keneged the four letters of the Shem Havaya. And that, in turn, is Mechuvan, the Yud, which is Atzilus, is Chachma. The He, which is Bria, I'm sorry, the He, which is, the He, which is Bria, is Bina. The He, which is Bria, is Bina. The Vav, which is Yetzira, are the six spheres. Actually, it's very meduyik. It's a Vav, Bedavka. And the final He, which is Asiya, is Malchus. Okay, everyone sees the correlations. Now, what is confusing is that in Kabbalah, there's a constant, what you might call infinite regressions, meaning to say everything contains everything. So although Atzilus as a whole is called Chachma, but in Atzilus there is the Chachma of Chachma, there is the Bina of Chachma, there's the Das of Chachma, there's the Chesed of Chachma, meaning all 10 Sviros are in Atzilus, which is overall Chachma. And then you have in the world of Bria, you have Bina, but you have all 10 spheres, the Chachma of Bina, the Bina of Bina, the Chesed of Bina, etc., etc., etc. And then you have the 10 spheres in Yetzira, and the 10 spheres of Asiya. So in Asiya too, there is the Chachma of Asiya. Okay? But they are within a dominant, overarching sphere. So in the world of Atzilus, it is Chachma. In the world of Bria, it is Bina. In the world of Yetzira, it is Sphiros. In the world of Asiya, it is Malchus. So now the Baal HaTanya says like this. We had mentioned that the Chilu Rechimu Sichliim, your mitzvah goes up and your Torah goes up to the world of Bria. Why? Because since your Ava and Yira came from your Seichel, that's Bina, that's Hispaininus. It's Mekusher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the level of Bina. Masha Einkein, when what your Megala is the Chilu Urechimu Tiviim, so what you're really doing is you're uncovering an emotion and a Regesh that is within you. So that belongs to the world of Yetzira, because that is the world of Midas rather than the world of Seichel. And indeed the Baal HaTanya points out that the world of Yetzira is the Mador of Malachim. Malachi Ashares belong to the world of Yetzira, not the world of Atzilus or Bria, because the world of Yetzira is that which is based on emotion and Midas. Since Malachim are not Balei Bechira, they belong to the world of Yetzira. So now we have the following complicated typology. That the idea is when you do Torah and mitzvahs with the chilu rechimu sichliim, it goes all the way up to the Eilam Hayetz, Eilam Habriya. And when you do Torah and mitzvahs with the chilu rechimu tiviim, but that means hiskalos libay, right? Then it goes up to the Eilam of Yetzira. Although I'm going to have to qualify that in a moment. Now, what if I do a mitzvah without the chilu rechimu, meaning I have the tiviim, but I wasn't megala it in my life, and I just do the mitzvah, mitzvahs anashim milumada. So that's called shalo lishma. It's interesting. That's called shalo lishma. So here, the Alter Rebbe says, it does not go up to either Yetzira or Asiya, but here we make, Yetzira or Bria, but here we make a difference between Taira. See, when you had the Chilu Rechimu, Tiviyim, or Sechliyim, we actually did not differentiate between Taira and Mitzvahs. We just differentiated between Sechliyim and Tiviyim. Is it Bria or is it Yetzira? But when you do something Shalo Lishma, he says we do make a difference. We say Taira Shalo Lishma goes up to the Eilam Hayitzira, and mitzvah shalo lishma goes up to the Eilam Ha'asiyah. But let me explain that. What do you mean goes up to the Eilam? We are in the Eilam Ha'asiyah. So again, it really gets more and more complicated here. The concept is this: all four worlds have 10 spheres. Now those 10 spheres are elokus. They're godly. They're like the engine, the power source. But in addition, these worlds have realms. They have madurim. They have chambers. They have rooms. So here's what he says: when you have the chilu rechimu, either tiviim or sichliim, the mitzvahs are nisiyached with the sviros themselves of that world. They become mamish mekusher to God. So if it's sichliim, it's mekusher on the realm of bria. If it's Tiviyim, it's Mekusher on the realm of Yetzira. When you're not Lishma, it is not Nisyachet with the Sviros per se. And that's what the Zohar means when it says, the Chilu Ruchimu are the wings that bring your mitzvahs to Hashem. If you don't have the Chilu Ruchimu, it's not Nisyachet with Hashem. But even if it's not Nisyachet with Hashem, it can still go up to be makabel a shefa. Now, there's the difference would be if you just picture it, although obviously these are, inaccurate pictures. Imagine you have Niagara Falls. Okay, not that you'd want to do this. So, in one case, you actually are in the falls, although that may be a negative. You're in the falls. The other is you're at a distance, but you feel the water hitting you. So the concept is, when you have the chilu rechimu, it actually goes into the power system. It actually goes into the elokus. When you don't have the chilu rechimu, it's oyle to a madur. That's what he says. He says the lashon of the Zohar is you create a malach. So taira shalo lishma, you create a malach in the olam hayetzira. Mitzvah shalo lishma, you create a malach in the Eilam Ha'asiyah. And he makes a point, there's a big nafkamina between creating a malach and being nisiyached with the godliness itself. A malach is a nivra. So, bekitzer, therefore, there are two differences between a mitzvah that is done lishma and a mitzvah that's done shenat lishma. Number one, when a mitzvah is done lishma, it goes to a higher level in terms of the olamos. And difference number two is it's nisiyached with the elokus in those olamos, as opposed to simply receiving a shefa. Again, this is a very, very complicated system. But again, so techilu rechimu sichliim, It is nisyached with Elokus in the Eilam Hayetz Habriya. Habriya. The Chilu Rechimu Tivim. It's nisyached with Elokus in the Eilam Habriya. I'm sorry, the Eilam Hayetzira. Now, when it's not with the Chilu Rechimu, meaning even if you have it in your heart, but you're not Megaled, it's just, you're just doing it Mitzvah Sanashim Elumada, so then the Torah does go up to the Eilam HaYetzira, one level lower, but only as a malach. Only as a malach. And for mitzvahs, it is a malach in the Eilam HaAsiyah. Okay? So this is the Nafka Mina. Now, he then has a third category. Because remember how he's defining it. He's defining Shalol Lishma as the absence of the Chilu Rechimu, Mitzvahs Anasha Melumada. But what about if you do something Shelo Lishma in the sense of an ulterior motive? You're doing it for Osher, you're doing it for Kavod, you're doing it for Gaiva. So here the Baal HaTanya is Mechadesh, a big Chiddush that I think Rav Chaim Mevolozhin would disagree with. That is not called Shelo Lishma, that is worthless. That goes nowhere at all. It is not Eila, even to the Heichalais, even to the Malachim, in the Eilam HaAsiyah. Nevertheless, so then you'll ask the question, so why should a person do mitzvos if he's doing it for ulterior motives? And yet Chazal seem to say, Li'olam, Yasok Adam, Batayro v'mitzvah shelo lishma, Shemitoch shelo lishma, Baal lishma, and that applies even to Pnias, Zokta Baal HaTanya, that is the Kayach of Tshuva. The mitzvahs you've done shelo lishma in terms of Pnias are doing nothing. But when you do Tshuva, there is a retroactive tikkun in which all of those mitzvahs are then elevated. Therefore, it's like a bank account that you're not going to be able to withdraw until a certain thing happens. But it's still good to put money in the bank account, because if you do tshuva, it'll go up. It'll go up to Bria, it'll go up to Yitzira, it'll go up to whatever level your tshuva is. Now that's an amazing thing. In other words, the Baal HaTanya actually learns that the mitzvahs that I do, l'shem Pnias, technically do nothing, but they are potentially available for Aliyah through the Kayach of Tshuva. Now you understand that although the Baal HaTanya clearly is telling us to do them, that's why he puts that in, but you understand that some Misnagdim were very, very concerned with teachings like this, because it could discourage a person. It could actually tell a person, what's the use? You know, if I can't learn with proper motivations, then like, why should I bother? So again, the Baal HaTanya answers it, but people had tanyas on it. And Rav Chaim Balazhin and Nefesh HaChaim, B'dafka says that for Kert, the Torah Vada goes up in various levels. Now, to make things more complicated, if they're not already complicated, is the Baal HaTanya then talks about, right, let's go back to Lishma, right? So we've identified two types of Shelo Lishma. One is Mitzvah Sanasha Melumada, habits. And the other is Pnias. Pnias is ulterior motives. Habits, he says, the Torah Shelo Lishma creates a malach b'aylam hayetzira, and mitzvah Shelo Lishma creates a malach b'aylam ha'asiyah. That's mitzvah Sanashim Melumada. If, on the other hand, it is habits, I'm sorry, not habit. If it's Pnias, ulterior motive, it's nothing, but it potentially can be elevated through the Kayach of Tshuva. So those are two types of Shelo Lishma. Now, in Lishma, I gave you two types, or not day, the Baal HaTanya gave you two types. Dechilu Rechimu Sichliyim, which is called gold, and Dechilu Rechimu Tivim, which is arousal of the instinct. I mean, taking the Talumai Shlibai and bringing it out through the Seichel. That's why it's confusing. And the Baal HaTanya says, if you have instinctual love and fear that you don't bring out in any way, it doesn't count. I mean, that's not called Aveda. That's why it's called Shelo Lishma and the like. But to make it a little further complicated, he then says, develops an idea based on the statement, Machshava Teva HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzarfa L'maisa. Now, everybody translates that phrase to mean that if I have a thought that I want to do a mitzvah and I'm not able to do it, Hashem counts my thoughts as if it is an action. In other words, my thought is as good as an action. So the Baal HaTanya says that's not literally what the phrase means. To be mitzaref is to combine something. Machshava Teiva HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzaref. He combines a machshava to a maisa. Not that you didn't do the maisa at all. So the Baal HaTanya has a chiddush here. And he says like this. He develops an idea that, let's say, a person contemplates loving Hashem. He thinks about it. He realizes he wants to love Hashem. He wants to have Yiras Hashem. But somehow it doesn't arouse the emotion. So the Baal HaTanya says, we will call that Machshava Teiva. And therefore, even though logically only real Dechilu Rechimu should bring your mitzvahs up to Hashem, but via the rule of Machshava Teiva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzarif L'maisa, Hashem accepts your Machshava Teiva as a jet propulsion engine that will have the same effect. Therefore, we have to add a third category. There is Dechilu Rechimu Sichliyim, and there is Dechilu Rechimu Tiviyim. In both of those cases, you used your Machshava to be ma'ayrer emotions. In one case, you created the emotion. In the other case, you were megala the emotion. But then we have a third category that is called machshava taiva. Machshava taiva means I consciously think that I want to love Hashem. I wished I loved Hashem. I wished I felt all of these feelings. Even though the feelings don't come out, either b'derech seichel or b'derech even tiviyim, that it, you know, that you haven't been successful in being meitziyit from the taluma saleif, but al smachshav ataiva kadosh baruch hu mitzaref l'maisa, it will be considered as if you did bring it out. Of course, then you have a question: brought what out? Sichli or tiviyim? Because once again, the sichli goes is nesiachid on the eilam hayitzira. I'm sorry, the Eilam HaBriya, the Tivi is the Eilam HaYetzira. Where does Machshava Teiva take you to? So here there's yet another complication that the Baal HaTanya says that although the nature of Sichli should bring you to Briya, and the nature of Tivi should bring you to Yetzira, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take the Tivi also up to Briya. Hashem will. So both of them, so the bottom line is both of them go to Briya, and therefore Machshava Teiva goes to Briya as well. These are freebies, so to speak, in what Hashem gives you.
The simplistic idea of Machshava Teiva HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzarif L'maisa, you intend to do Bikur Cholim in the hospital,
yep.
You go there, and they said, we're not letting people into the hospital.
Yeah. So the Baal HaTanya says, that is not what that Maimar Chazal is to say. Now, there's another Maimar Chazal that does say that idea. Chashav Adam Laseis Mitzvah Venenas V'loya Sa'a Maila Olav HaKosov Ke'ilu Asa. Now, most people say that is exactly the meaning of the other Maimar Chazal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzarif Machshav L'maisa. Most people will learn that these are just two ways of saying the same thing. The chiddush of the Baal HaTanya, the very interesting chiddush, is they are actually two different principles. There is a rule, like you said, my machshava to do a mitzvah will be counted, but machshava teiva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzarif L'maisa, is another principle that is referring to the idea of machshava teiva taking the place of a dechilu rechimu, tiviyim, or sichliyim. So this is a very complicated typology. In Lishma, we have three levels: Dechilu Rechimu Sichliyim, Dechilu Rechimu Tiviyim, Machshava Teiva. In Shelo Lishma, we have two levels: We have mitzvah sanasha mimumada, and we have peniyas, and each of them have different rules. But the bottom line is, though, in terms of lishma, it turns out all three lishmas wind up the same place. Meaning to say like this. The way it works is, dechilu rechimu sichliyem, naturally, your mitzvahs are nisyached in the Olam HaBriya. If, on the other hand, it's dechilu rechimu tiviyim, or machshav ha-taiva, it would logically only go up to the world of Yetzira, but the machshav ha-taiva will bring it up to that as well. So, it turns out, it's hard for me, I don't really fully understand why. What is the big point of making a distinction if it goes here or goes here, if Lamaisa it all goes up the same place? But that is very different than Shalol Lishma, where even the Shalol Lishma, that's mitzvah sanasha melumada, only creates a malach, number one, so it's like it gets sprinkled from Niagara Falls. It's not nisyache bi'alakus. And with Taira, it goes to Yitzira, and with a malach in Yitzira, and with mitzvahs, it's only a malach, a spiritual kayach in the world of Abbasiyah.
Why is there a difference in Shalosh between Torah and
Mitzvahs? Yeah, that's a good kasha, but the concept is that because Torah involves a hiskashrus with the seichel, so even though it's not the bina that could go all the way up to Bria, but it approaches Bria, so to speak, meaning it is a closer shaychus to the arena of Bria than would the mitzvah alone. Okay, so that's kind of what he says in the first essay. Actually, it's hard because it overlaps. The first essay and the third essay, what I said to you is really a combination of Aleph and Gimel. Aleph and Gimel discusses the various types of Lishma and Shalol Lishma, Dechilu Rechimu Sifliyim, Tiviyim, and the Chiluk between Taira and Mitzvahs on the level of Shalol Lishma, even though on Lishma we don't have that difference.
If somebody were, let's say, to sponsor like a Torah class or something like that, or by food, the
Elohim
Mishnah,
someone's Mishnah. Yeah. According to the Balatanya, whose Kavana is like make it so that it gets fulfilled,
the person sponsoring
or the one? Well, I think that every single person that learns, their Kavana would be Kaveya. No, Hashem would split it up. Your learning is Lishma, his learning is not Lishma. Every learning would be. So Hashem would then add up all of the different aliyahs and then determine what Sechus that would be for the Nifter, which wouldn't be a one-size-fit-all. It would be, you'd have to judge it with each person. But as I say, this idea that when a person does a mitzvah for Peniyas, the mitzvah is intrinsically worthless, intrinsically, except for the potential of tshuva, which, by the way, the Baal HaTanya writes, since it's batuach that a person will do tshuva either in this Gilgal or another Gilgal, therefore, for sure, do as many mitzvahs as you can. This is what the Baal HaTanya says. But this idea that the Shalol Lishma is fundamentally worthless mitzad atzmai was one of the most controversial, actually, one of the most controversial teachings of early Hasidus. Now, as I've said many, many times, the Baal HaTanya was a Litvak, so to speak, and in his Hashkafa, he was the closest to the Misnagdim, meaning there were Hasidim who took a more radical position. There were Hasidim that basically said, Hashem doesn't want your mitzvahs if you're not doing it Lishma. And you have to understand, the Baal HaTanya is writing Bedafka to move away from it, but you see that he has to kind of invent. He's juggling a little bit, because he fundamentally does consider it to be worthless, but he knows halachically you got to do it. I mean, you can see it's a struggle. Elamai. So he says, oh, it's got to be that tshuva will be the one that will change the whole picture. But you understand, that's a daichik from Akasha, meaning there's Akasha here, and he doesn't want to go there. He knows he can't go there, unlike other Hasidim who went there, so he has to come up with a chiluk. This is actually a fairly revolutionary, you know, people are in Tanya, like whatever, this is an absolutely revolutionary statement that many would be very, very, very... disturbed about. Yeah.
How come Hasidim are so concerned about Lishma, and it doesn't seem like any other group is quite as concerned?
Well, today I wouldn't say that's necessarily the case. In fact, Martin Buber, maybe I shouldn't have. Martin Buber was not a religious man. He was a professor at Hebrew University, a man from Germany, and he was not religious at all, but he was a scholar of Hasidus. In fact, a lot of academic work on Hasidus is based on stuff Buber. And Buber loved the very early Hasidus. He loved a lot. But he felt that Hasidus became too frum later, and therefore he didn't. He said it was a betrayal. They all became, because he liked Hasidus, because they were free, they were not constrained. They said we don't need. He was exaggerating it even then. But they don't need rules. They don't have to keep halacha. Everything is about feeling. Everything's about emotion. Buber loved it, but then they got so strict and they got so fanatic. They got so chmachmer. He says betrayal. So he only writes about the earliest Hasidus, before the Baal. He didn't like the Baal HaTanya. But the earliest Hasidus, again, that was a guzma, but it was a guzma that had some truth. Meaning, when, I'm not talking about the Baal Shem Tov, I'm not talking about the Gedolim. But there were followers who took this is why the Gra was against, who took the idea of feelings to such an extreme.
They drank and they marched in the street and they'd summer.
Right, all those things. There were crazy things going crazy. Right. So Buber loved it. He thought later Hasidus. In fact, I'll tell you this. I'm sure most of you have heard of the Sefer Torah Tamima. You know the Torah Tamima?
Yeah.
So the Torah Tamima was written by Baruch HaLevi Epstein, who was a son of the Orach HaShochan. His father was a big, big gadol in Pesach. Well, in addition to the Torah Tamima, Baruch HaLevi Epstein wrote a four-volume biography of his family called Makor Baruch. And Makor Baruch, if you like reading my something like this, a fascinating, fascinating, fascinating book, because he writes about the Orach HaShochan, he writes about the Nitziv, who was his uncle, he writes about Maskilim and Gedolim. He writes about all sorts of different types of people, and he has stories. A lot of people think stories are not accurate because it doesn't fit their hashgacha. For example, he was the Nitziv's nephew, and he was 15 years old when the Volozhiny Yeshiva closed down by the Russians. I'll just give you an example, just to digress. It's Mekubal in the Yeshiva Veld that why Volozhin was the greatest yeshiva in the world. Greatest yeshiva in the world. And it was closed down by the Russians in the 1890s. And it was mekubal because the Russian government demanded that they introduce secular studies in Volozhin. And it was both the Nitziv and the second Rosh Yeshiva, the younger Rosh Yeshiva, Chaim Soloveitchik, who was the junior Rosh Yeshiva. They said, better to close down a Makom Torah than to have any type of secular limud. Better not to have a yeshiva. And that's the story that's Makubu Midore Doros for the why Volozhin was closed down. Now in the Torah Tamima's biography, he gives you a different story. He says, the Russian government, because of the Maskilim, by the way, but the Russian government demanded that there be at least 5 hours of secular studies a day and the yeshiva be closed after 6 o'clock at night. So think about that. The yeshiva no night learning at all. The yeshiva Volozhin was working on a 24-hour day learning. Volozhin has to be closed at 6, and you have to have a 5-hour secular studies program. So all you would have at most is a morning seder. So the Torah Tamim says that Siv made a cheshbon. They could learn more in the local. Don't have a yeshiva, they'll learn in the base medrash, whatever it would be. And the Torah Tamim says the Nitziv was not against. If it would be an hour, whatever it is, a day of Chachmas Chitzenius, they would learn Russian and mathematics, then it would be Maskim. But the Russian government's demand, the Tsar's government, was so extreme. So the Torah Tamima portrays the Nitziv, which is probably Emes, as a moderate person, a person who was willing to have secular studies, but it had to be, you had to have a Tzura of a yeshiva. So, now I'm willing to say Rav Chaim Soloveitchik probably would have been against that. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was much more kanoi. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was a tremendous anti-Zionist, and Nitziv was not an anti-Zionist. I mean, they were different personalities. But the Nitziv was the boss. The Nitziv was the head Rosh Yeshiva. And if Rav Chaim may have quit in protest or something, but if Misiv wanted an hour of secular studies, there would have been an hour of secular studies. So I remember years and years ago, that Chelek of Makor Baruch was translated as a book. It was called My Uncle the Nitziv, just that part about the Nitziv. And the Lakewood Cheder was trying to raise money, and they sent out the book. And then, like 3 weeks after they sent the book, we get a letter. Everyone who sent money gets a letter from the Lakewood Cheder saying, please send back the book, we'll give you a full refund. It has come to our attention that there are ideas in the book that are connected Das Torah, and therefore we are ashamed that we sent you the book. Please send it back for a full refund. Now you can rest assured that anyone who didn't read the book until that point is going to read the book. But it turned out there were two things in the book that were not Lefi Das Torah. One was that the Nitziv was maskim to some Chachmas Chitzanias, and the other was, there was a little reference there to the Nitziv's first wife, used to learn Gemara, whatever it is, and that was also considered to be... But the truth of the matter is, I think the Torah Tumima was probably accurate on that. Now, why am I bringing this up? This was a digression to another digression. The reason I'm bringing it up is the following. There's something else the Torah Tumima says that Chabad doesn't like, but it's very interesting. When the Aruch HaShulchan was a young Rav, remember, the Aruch HaShulchan became the Pesach Ador. In fact, many people who learned in Europe say that the Aruch HaShulchan was considered to be a much more authoritative, safer Pesach Halacha than the Mishnah Berurah.
There's motion of continuity.
Yeah. The Aruch HaShulchan was mamish, a tremendously great Pesach. But his first stellar, his first position, before he went to Nevardik, which was a bigger city, was some place that was mainly Chabad. A village of Chabad Chassidim, which would take non-Chabad Rabbanim, but they required that he be tested by the Rebbe and be approved by the Rebbe. So the Aruch HaShulchan spent 3 weeks by the Tzemach Tzedek, who was the third Rebbe of Chabad, who was considered to be one of the Gedolei HaPoskim of the Dor anyway. And the Aruch HaShulchan said later that since the Tzemach Tzedek knew I was not a Chassid, even though I was with him for 3 weeks, he didn't tell me one Chassidish thought. He knew that wasn't what I wanted. We only talked about Shas and Paiskin. He says, he was Makar Tov, that the Tzemach didn't give him any Chassidus. But then he said, he quoted B'Shem the Tzemach Tzedek, that we Chassidim are very grateful to the Vilna Gaon. Because if the Vilna Gaon wouldn't have put us in Cherim, Chassidus would have gone off the deep end. It would have become so anti-halachic, emphasizing emotion and songs and dancing and drinking, it mamish would have been separated from Moshe. And when the Vilna Gaon put us in Cherem, that made us realize we have to become more machmir in halacha. And therefore he told the Aruch HaShulchan that the Vilna Gaon saved Chassidus. Like a shame that Buber says the Vilna Gaon destroyed us from Buber's perspective. So this is written in the Makor Baruch. Chabad absolutely denies. They say this. I mean, how do they know? They say it's sheker v'chazav. It's impossible. It's not. You know, it's lo yitachen that the Tzemach Tzedek would be makar tov to the Vilna Gaon for putting them in chaya. But the point I'm making is that there's a pendulum here, meaning there are times that people are so medayik in halacha, 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 they don't think about kavana. So we have movements that emphasize kavana. But then there are times where the kavana becomes so important you ignore the halacha. So you have movements that emphasize halacha. It's a pendulum. And the emes is in the middle, because each thing by itself could go to a certain extreme. That's why even the last Lubavitcher Rebbe said, he liked the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, and he actually told people they should learn it with Tanya. They're both very, very good. Okay. Right, so this is what I covered with Kitzer, Essay 1 and Essay 3, Aleph and Gimel. I don't know why Beis is another theme. I don't know why they're separated in this way. But Aleph and Gimel talk about these different madregos of Lishma and not Lishma, Dechilu Rechimu Sichliim, Dechilu Rechimu Tiviim, Machshava Taiva, Yitzira, Bria, Malach, right, all of these chilukim are there. Now, in Beis, he brings up another idea, I'll just read you what the topic sentence is. He brings from Ayin Eitz Chaim, Shar HaNekudais, Shar Ches Perek Vav. Again, Eitz Chaim, just to be sure that people know what this is. You know, we talk about Kisvei HaAri, but the emes is, the Ari, we have very, very little that the Arizal wrote. Arizal didn't write that much. We have his signature on a receipt for pepper. Whatever, he was a pepper merchant part of the day. So we have his ksav yad on a pepper receipt and the like. Also, he wrote more seriously. We do have a perish from the Arizal when he was young on Safra de Tzniyasa, which is a chelik of the Zohar. We actually have a perish from the Arizal himself. But 99%, 90% of what people say are Kitzvei Ari are not really from the Arizal. They are from his Talmud, Rav Chaim Vital, who was actually older than the Ari. He was actually older, but the Ari died at the age of 39. Chaim Vital was older. But Rav Chaim Vital would write down everything the Arizal said, but it was mainly in his own words. And basically, the Kabbalah of the Ari is Miyusat on Rav Chaim Vital. Now, Rav Chaim Vital wrote many Mahadurais. He wrote many, many different editions and revisions, and some of them he burnt, and some of them he buried, and some of them were buried and were unearthed later after his death. They mamash opened the kever and took things out. So the Kisvei Ari might actually be something like 20 volumes, but the foundational chelik of the Kabbalah of the Ari is in a sefer called Eitz Chaim, which itself is confusing because that was in different editions too, different Madurais and the like. But the Eitz Chaim is the main thing. And then there's another thing called pre-Eitz Chaim. And the difference is, Eitz Chaim are the Kabbalistic teachings. Pre, the fruit, Eitz Chaim, is the application of those Kabbalistic teachings to the Minhagim of Talis, Tefillin, Tefillah, Shefer. In other words, so Pri'etz Chaim is actually an interesting source for Halacha because it takes the abstract Kabbalistic teachings and it shows you how it would affect the mitzvahs that you do. Right? So you'll find, you'll probably find in any, particularly in the Ben Ish Chai or Sefer that uses Kabbalah as Halachic source, you will find constant references to Pri'etz Chaim. But that comes out of the Kabbalah of Eitz Chaim. So the essay number two starts with a quote from the Eitz Chaim, very difficult quote. Ein hachzoras panim bepanim ki im al yedei mitzvos ma'asiyai stavka. So this gets us into, once again, something that I can only describe, I cannot explain, and I do not understand. And that is, you will recall that when we say L'shem Yichud, so we say, I'm doing this mitzvah, L'shem Yichud, Kudsha Berichu Ushechinte, to effect a unification between Hashem and His Shekhinah. What is Shekhinah? Shekhinah is Hashem. Kabbalistically, this means I want to unite the Zeir Anpin, the small face, which are the six spheres. Right? There's Chachma Bina, then you have Chesed, Gvurah, Tiferes, Netzach HaYisod. Those Midas, the Vav, with the Hay. I want to be Miyachid, the Vav, and the Hay, so that the godliness of Hashem's Midas should be manifest and expressed in the Shekhinah, which is Malchus, which is Nukva. Malchus, Nukva, Shekhinah, those are all the same thing. So what is being described here is, frankly, it is using the metaphor of sexual union. It's as if to say, and again, Chas V'Shalom, this is not referring to period in Hashem. It's not. Although, I don't know what it is referring to. But we are using the concept that there's a masculine and feminine aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hiskalos that has to come together, and that is the Yichud of Kudsha Berichu U'Shechinteh. So now...
Hashem's indivisible.
Right? Yeah, well that's the problem. In other words, this is on the level of spheros. It's not on the level of the Ein Sof Mamish.
He keeps stressing Hashem is why.
That's right. So to take this metaphor even further and further and further, in ways that become even less comprehensible, in Tashmish Amita itself, there are different physical positions. There's panim b'panim, the man and the woman face each other, which is the greatest intimacy, the greatest holiness. And then there's panim keneged achar, which is facing the back. So even when there's yichud kutshu v'richu shechinte, sometimes it's panim keneged achar, and sometimes it's panim b'panim. Panim b'panim is an eis ratzon. Panim b'panim is the greatest intimacy, the greatest closeness. Panim b'achar is a hester panim, meaning to say the intimacy is not there. And the Arizal goes into tremendous arichus, or of Chaim Vital in the Eitz Chaim, goes into tremendous arichus. When is the hisachtos of kutshu v'richu shechinte? When is it panim keneged panim? When is it panim keneged achar? So he brings from the Eitz Chaim that panim b'panim only comes, or primarily comes, through mitzvahs maisius. And again, this is going to raise a very, very difficult issue. Because on one hand, Torah is greater than mitzvahs. Talmud Torah keneged kulam. And yet, legabe this aspect, to be machzir panim b'panim, you bedafka need physical mitzvahs. Whether it's tzedakah, which is ben adam l'chaveray, whether it's tefillin, whatever it is, kriyashmana, these are physical things that you do. And here he tries to be masbir a little bit why the hachsaras panim b'panim, actually it's very short shtickle, why panim b'panim is only achieved primarily by mitzvahs maisius and not by higher levels. And he goes into the idea that since Malchus is the most physical of all realms, then Hashem must be brought into this in the most physical of all ways. And therefore, he tells us it's mitzvahs maisius that are going to do it. Okay, we'll have to come back to it, but be ikr, that's the short, you know, I'm trying to, as I said before, although that was a little marach in the first and the third one, but as I said, I'm trying to give you just a little, like a one or two lines, just to prepare yourselves and prepare me to be able to think about this some more. Sometimes what you have to do when you learn a sefer like this is, you got to kind of encapsulate the idea in your head and then kind of let it sit there for a week. And maybe just in the course of thinking about it, you know, maybe things get a little clearer. You can't always sit over it. You have to sometimes let it percolate in your head. But that is the aside of the second kuntris, the idea of hachzoras panim bepanim, which is a particular intimacy of yichud kutsha berichu ushechinte. Now the fourth one, I'll just mention them, then we'll stop. The fourth one is a biggie, is actually big, and many say, and I think so too, many say that this is actually the most difficult shtickle, the most heavily Kabbalistic shtickle in the entire Tanya. It's also very long, very, very hard, very difficult. I will just introduce it, okay, and then we'll stop. This is another passage from the Pre-Eitz Chaim. And the Pre-Eitz Chaim says, Bizman hazeh ikar birur al yedei atfila. So we have two different things. In the second essay, we talked about machsir panim b'panim. Machsir panim b'panim is al yedei mitzvahis maisiyes. But here, in the Pre-Eitz Chaim, it says, birur is al yedei tefila. So just be sure, just understand the difference here. Hachsaras panim b'panim mitzvahs maisiyas, That's from the Eitz Chaim. Pre-Eitz Chaim says, Iker ha-birur al-yidei tefillah. So what do we mean by birur? Birur. So this gets us into a chelik of the Zayar that's considered to be the Zayar. This part of the Zayar itself is considered to be the most difficult part of the Zayar. You may have heard of the title. This is called the Idra. There's an Idra Rabba and an Idra Zuta. Idra just means a threshing floor. There's nothing in the name per se. In the Zohar, a lot of times, these great, deep conversations are introduced in all sorts of odd places. You're in the marketplace, you're in the store, whatever it is. This happens to be a discussion Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was having in a threshing floor. Idra Rabba means, and there are two discussions in the Idra. We don't know if it was the same time, different time. The longer discussion is called the Idra Rabba, the bigger discussion. And there's a smaller discussion called the Idra Zuta. And the Idra is in the Zohar for Parshas Naso, so it's in the Parsha, but it's a separate chelik. A lot of parts of the Zohar have their own names, even though they're in a Parsha. There's Safra Ditzniasa, there's Raya Mehemna. They go by separate names, but they're actually, you know, in a Parsha. So if you were to open up Parshas Naso, you would see in the middle there, it's called Idra Rabba. So in the Idra Rabba, by the way, the Ramchal wrote a Sefer Adir, Ramchal wrote a big commentary on the Idra, the Gra wrote a commentary. So the Idra Rabba discusses a mystical interpretation. If you remember, we're going to read in a few weeks that there's a list of kings that ruled in Edom, that Esav had descendants who were kings before there was a Jewish king. And it just lists names of Edomite kings. It's about the Yichus of Esav. The Idra takes that in the most deepest part of the Zohar, that Edom is a remez to Midas Hadin, and it actually says that when Hashem originally created the world, before there was Adam, before there was man, the Kalim were too weak to contain the power of God's light. And those Kalim shattered. And they scattered sparks of divine light throughout the Bria. And that is called Eilam HaTayu, the world of mixture and confusion. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu reconfigured the Kalim and the Spheros to be able to create the world that we have it. And that's called Eilam HaTikun. Right? So the world of the Torah is already the Eilam of Tikun. But there was an Eilam HaTayu. But the problem is this. The Eilam HaTikun repairs things from now on. But it did not yet reclaim all of the light that was shattered with the breaking of the original Kalim. So Memela, that was left to the Aveda of mankind. And that is called Birur. That through your Aveda, what you do is, you gather the sparks of holiness that were imprisoned. So an example would be, that every time you make a bracha, part of the chios in a fruit is a spark of divine energy that was broken, that escaped, that was not really connected to its source. When you make a bracha, you're liberating that spark and you're bringing it back to its source. This is an idea from the Arizal, the idea of birur. This is not the same. Hachzaras panim upon him is a question of divine energy coming now. Birur is reclaiming the sparks from the Eilam HaTayu. So here, what we're dealing with there is that the Pre-Eitz Chaim says that the Iker Mitzvah that is Mevarer the Nitzaitzis, that liberates the sparks from their imprisonment, is Avedas HaTefillah. Right? Torah does other things, but the Birur HaNitzaitzis comes from Tefillah. And he is Mechalek. He says, in the Deiris HaRishayim, it was Torah. In the Deiris HaChrayim, it's Tefillah. but it's not clear exactly why that's so. In one point, he seems to say that even in the Deris HaRishayim, it was tefillah, but they could accomplish it much more quickly. In other words,
Adam had tefillah before he had Torah.
Yeah. In other words, the concept was not that what did the Birur changed, but the amount of time and energy you need changed. He says, "B'deres Rishayim, they could achieve in their tefillah in a very short time, which would take us a longer time to do." Okay, we'll try to talk about this maybe next week. As I say, this is a very, very difficult shtickle. I think Mitzidenu, it might be kedai if we're simply aware of what is being discussed. The question that, even if we don't really have a full answer, but again, the second essay talks about mitzvahs maisiyais as being machzir, the yichud kudrish uchinte panim b'panim, and the fourth essay is being mavarer the mitzaitzis from the Yilam Hatayu to return them to their shayresh. That's kind of reclaiming that which was already shattered. And that, he says, is primarily through the Aveda of Tefillah.
Okay. Question.
Yeah.
Shulchan Aruch Ari,
yeah.
What's it based upon? Eclectic from this?
Yeah, Shulchan Aruch Ari was not from Reb Chaim Vital. It was simply somebody. There is a Mechaber. I don't remember who the Mechaber is. He simply took from mainly the Pre-Yetz Chaim all of the halachic minhagim of the Ari and wrote them al Seder HaShulchan Aruch, because the Pre-Yetz Chaim is not on the Seder of the Shulchan Aruch.
The famous thing is, every time you start your tefillah, Hare Ani Lekabalot, and this is us,
the Abdul Recha Kamocha.
But they also speak about that in the regular Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah.
Because if Hashem won't accept your prayer, if you have any sinna towards.
Right. Now, there's a machlokas, by the way. You know, Rav Moshe writes in a number of places that the Ari is one of the poskim. He says, Ari is a posek. But the Ari is no bigger than the Ari is a posek. In other words, people say, if it's the Ari versus 100 other people, you know, you got to go with the Ari. Rashi said, no. He says, you don the Ari the way you'll don the Magen Avraham or the Taz. He says, there's no, magic thing from the Ari. Ari Shoag Milo Yira. Okay, you have a good week and be well.